You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 73. My guest today is Melanie with a very, very healing dream, as you will hear. Though if you don't know much about dream interpretation, you might wonder why a dream of people dying and crying and utter despair, as Melanie's dream was, might be a dream of deep healing. So listen in for that one, because there is a lot to learn. And I'm really, really grateful and applaud Melanie deeply for bringing the dream that she's brought onto the show, as you will discover as our discussion unfolds. So lots and lots to learn from this one, and I think this will be an episode you'll always remember. Just before going over to Melanie, I just wanted to give a little bit of feedback from last week. Last week, as you may remember, episode 72, we had Dale on, and Dale was actually test driving our DreamSight Diary database. That's our kind of do-it-yourself dream interpretation software. And it was very interesting, and we went more and more deeply into a dream. And Dale actually left a comment at the podcast blog, which I must remind you all about in a minute, but she left the a comment, and she put, "Hi to all of you who listen to my podcast, and in particular, the extra input from Jane Theresa. I thought you might be excited to know that in my dreams last night, I drove a wonderful and powerful train engine straight through a brick building via a plate glass window. Smash! It was wonderful. In the dream, I had done it a few previous times, but had stopped just short of the window. But this time, kapow. And I wasn't driving the train engine, ... I was the train." So even without understanding the dream or having to go back and listen to episode 72 there, I think you can get a sense of what Dale did in that breakthrough dream the night after the podcast recording that she did with me. She got something, she understood a limitation, she found a block, and she drove straight through it and smashed it and out into the wide, wonderful, less limited world, more abundant world beyond. So you might like to go back and listen to episode 72 and just discover what Dale's dream was about, most of which she discovered herself by running it through DreamSight Diary database, and the rest of which she put together as we discussed it during episode 72. So remember, I know I've got a website that you know about, and I know I've got a blog that you know about, but perhaps I don't mention too often the podcast blog, and that's where Dale went to comment. So the podcast blog, and I'll give you the address in a minute, is the place which is just totally dedicated to this show, the podcasts. So you can go to each individual podcast, and you can not only listen to it there, if you haven't got as far as getting automatic delivery on iTunes, which is much more sensible, but you can actually go there and you can leave comments on each show. So just in case you didn't know that, you might like to look up the podcast blog, and from time to time, when you finish listening to a show, either go in and leave a comment or, you know, send that link around to other people. So the address of the podcast blog is www.lifestylepodnetwork.com.au/thedreamshow, or one word. So that's lifestylepodnetwork.com.au/thedreamshow, or one word. Because lifestylepodnetwork.com.au, it's not only a mouthful, but it also is the hosting platform for many other podcast shows, including The Dream Show. So in fact, if you go there, you might discover other interesting listening as well. But talking about interesting listening, and far more importantly, let's go over to hear Melanie. Welcome to the show, Melanie. How are you?
Hi. Good, thank you. How are you?
Wonderful. It's a beautiful sunny day today, isn't it? We're both in the same country, Australia.
Yeah.
And what dream do you have for me?
Okay. I had this dream a couple of days ago. It's quite bizarre. I don't understand it. I dreamt that there was, I was in sort of a place, and there was a big guy. Now, this particular guy, I recognised him as being from a radio show. And he was laying down like on an operating table. He'd had some sort of, I felt it was like an allergic reaction to something, and I just had to give him a simple needle and then it would be fixed. So I drew the needle and I watched, you know, I very carefully got the 2 mils of whatever it was that needed to be administered. I gave him the needle, and he sat bolt upright, and he said, I didn't check for air bubbles, like I hadn't flicked the needle to check for air bubbles, and I had injected an air bubble into him, and it was going to kill him, like he could feel it. And he started to react to this pain in like an exaggerated type of manner, and he was really angry with me. And I was really, I was questioning myself because I'm always very thorough and I'm always very careful, and I couldn't believe that I had done that. And then the next thing, it goes to like a different scene, and I'm standing around, there's an operating table, but it's not the same guy, it's a girl, a little girl this time. And we're like, me and a few other people, and they just happen to be mums from the school that I go to, were standing around this table because this little girl, we thought she had died and it was my fault. So it, instead of being the big guy, you know, who I'd injected with a bubble, like it was now a little girl, and I was feeling responsible.
Mm.
And my mum, who has in reality passed away, was consoling me because I was beside myself. You know, I was so upset that I could have done this. And she sort of had her arms around me saying, look, it's okay. We'll just have to wait and see what happens. It might not have been you that did it. And the mother of the girl was there, and we were all kind of standing back and just looking because we could see that this girl, like she really looked like she was deceased, but nobody had given us confirmation and nobody was touching her. She looked a little bit bluish. And then her mother carefully put her hand on her stomach and then sort of dropped her head and started crying because she was cold and she knew that she had passed away. And, you know, even now it evokes emotion in me. It was really, and she wasn't angry with me. This lady was really sad that it had happened, but she wasn't blaming me and she wasn't angry with me. And my mum was still comforting me, and then I woke up. That was it.
Wow. How did you feel after you woke up? Were you still crying?
I wasn't crying, but, like, I can feel a big lump in my throat now, but I just felt really strange, really sort of indifferent. I didn't know how to feel because it was pretty, I don't know, I felt so much guilt that I could possibly have done this, but I just didn't understand. And the little girl, her name was Ivan, but that's not a girl's name, which confused me as well. And there was lots of little intriguing things, I don't know.
Okay, we'll get into it. The reason I asked how you felt when you woke up was because sometimes when there's a lot of crying going on in the dream, even though it's not you, you know, someone else is crying, you can sometimes actually wake up crying or feeling quite teary, and that can happen when you have actually let go of some grief in the dream. So I was interested to see whether, you know, it carried on into the morning. But of course, what you've told me there is that now, 2 days later, it feels like there's a lump in your throat, which comes up when you can't cry about something, you know. So so the dream is touching on some grief that does need to be let go, and we'll work into that. But of course, I need to ask you some questions first.
Sure.
were you mentioned there about giving the needle, and you said, oh, you know, I'm always careful, and you use some quite technical terms. So are you familiar with giving needles? Is that part of your job or your
no.
work? Oh, okay. Just happen to know the right words. No, that's good. That always makes it easier when they're totally dream symbols. And you said that the big guy at the beginning was someone you knew from a radio show. Are you able either to give his name or to give us your feeling about his personality?
Yeah, his name is Gus, and he's from a breakfast show, and he's quite robust and funny, and he did that tour with the cricketers, you know, where he was, I don't know, had like a cheer squad and he was leading it all around the world and stuff. So he's a funny, big, robust kind of character. Yeah.
All right, so he's big and robust. Is he the last kind of person you would expect to be angry like he was in the dream?
Yes. I wouldn't expect him. He's always jolly. He's always laughing. He's always fun.
Yeah. Okay, we'll come back to that. That's great. Now, you said that there were mums around the little girl that had died in the dream were all familiar faces to you from mums at school.
Yeah.
Were they just kind of like a whole range of familiar faces, or did you particularly notice, say, two or three mums that you actually know quite well?
I did pick out a couple that I know, and I know them, but I'm not overly close to them.
But
I recognise them.
So if you put those together, you know them, but you're not overly close to them, and from what you know or feel about them, is there anything connecting those mums? Are they similar personality or similar approaches, or do you have similar feelings about those particular mums in waking life?
In waking life, I like them. They're nice people. They always just seem to be quite happy to go along with their own thing, quite comfortable in their own skin.
Mm. Yeah.
That's really all, I think.
No, that's good. So whereas the big guy was kind of robust and happy and out there and kind of dramatic and kind of, entertaining people with their happiness, these women were more quietly, kind of similar, but quietly confident, would you say?
Yeah.
But also happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the little girl, interesting note that she's called Ivan, which is not a girl's name.
Yeah, that's bizarre, isn't it?
It is. So let's start with a couple of questions around that. Do you know anybody, or have you known anybody, probably a male, called Ivan in the past?
No, but about a year ago, I did have another quite striking dream where this guy called Ivan was killed, and somebody else had killed him, and it wasn't their fault, and I was trying, and they weren't owning up to it, and they were trying to hide it, and I was like, why? And I remember calling out Ivan, but I don't know anybody.
Yeah. Oh, that's really significant. That's great. So we will come down to why she is called Ivan and why he, in that dream a year ago, were called Ivan. But what you've got there, Melanie, is a really interesting situation where you're revisiting a dream symbol from a year ago, which is the man called Ivan, because, you know, there's some similarities and some differences between the dream back then, a year ago, and the dream now, as you've just pointed out. So in the dream a year ago, Ivan was killed, but people were saying, oh, no, it's not me, like, definitely not me, I didn't do it. Mm. And in this dream, Ivan, the girl, was killed, and you're saying, oh, dear, did I do that? I don't think I did, but did I? Or maybe I did. So this question of responsibility has come up in the two dreams a year apart, but coming up from a completely different angle. So what your dream has done with Ivan, even though it's a little girl, and we're going to focus on the fact that it's a girl in today's interpretation, is still touching on what was happening for you a year ago when you had that dream, remembering that each dream reflects the 24 to 48 hours beforehand. So as we go through this dream, it's looking at not only what happened, you said this dream was a couple of days ago, so not only what happened, say, 3 or 4 days ago, but how that impinged upon what happened a year ago when you had the other dream, and we'll also go further back than that probably as well.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're going to go in for it now.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
I am. I'm sitting down.
You probably already know, because I know you've listened to podcasts in the past, that that death in dreams often means what is dying in your life, things we're letting go of. Sometimes it's good to let go of things in life. You know, we can't move on to new things without letting go of old things.
Yep.
Death of the old has to happen in order for new things to begin. Old attitudes have to die in order for new attitudes to come in. And when our dreams process these things, they can be very, very sad, because even when we let go of, say, old attitudes that haven't really served us well, it's still really, really sad to let go of something that's been a part of ourselves for so long. And that is mostly where your dream is coming from, and we're going to go into that in more depth. But sometimes we kill off things too early in our lives, you know, so we might, for example, somebody might drop a course that they're studying and decide afterwards, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Like, you know, I acted for this reason or for that reason, but I shouldn't have let it go. Then that person might have a dream where they see somebody being killed, and their feeling is more of regret. And then you can say, once you interpret the dream, oh, look, maybe this is something that it wasn't really so good to kill off. Maybe we can bring it back to life, you know.
Yeah.
And so death in a dream doesn't always mean letting go of something that it's time to let go of. But in your dream, as we're going to see, I feel that it is way, way time to let go of the thing that you've killed in your dream. Okay.
So I can broaden that if you like. I can give you confirmation if you want it.
You can at this stage if you like, and we're also going to go deeper.
I left my husband 4 months ago.
Ah.
And I've been really struggling with it. I knew I was sort of in a bit of denial that the relationship was over. I was constantly trying to fix it. But I struggled and struggled and struggled with the decision to do it, but then I finally did it. But I've still been feeling a lot of guilt.
Residual guilt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay, so we're going to, thank you for that confirmation there. We're going to go in and look all around that, and we'll pronounce our verdict, which of course I can tell you from already understanding your dream, it's going to be very, very good.
Yeah, that's good. I feel because I'm sweating now.
Yeah. And be prepared, because there is going to be a release of all the grief that you're holding back around this. You know, 4 months is a very short time, but of course it goes back way beyond that, as we already know. From what you're saying, it's possible an issue came up a year ago when you first had this Ivan dream that kind of triggered all of this. So I did have one other question to ask you. The little girl, Ivan, that died in the dream, roughly how old was she, Melanie?
She'd have been about 9 or 10, probably about 10.
And is that the age of any one of your children? Like, is that the age of the children that you're used to seeing up at the school?
My daughter. Yeah, my daughter's 10.
The same age, okay. So she may in the dream have been that age because that's the age of children that you're used to seeing. But okay, I suspect also that she may relate to something that's been in your life 9 or 10 years, and maybe also what happened to you when you were 9 and 10, which we'll come back to later. So we're just taking an almighty jump here. Did you get married 9 or 10 years ago?
No, I got married 15 years ago.
Oh, longer than that. So this 9 or 10 years ago may relate more to when that your daughter was born than, yeah. Okay, and I also feel that it was related to you when you were 9 or 10, but we'll come back to that. So we've got on Ivan that it connects to a dream a year ago, but if you don't know anybody by that name, and you may do but just have forgotten, we also look at any word play in a dream. So when you said Ivan to me, I immediately thought of like Ivan as in I have a, you know, I have a headache, I have a table, I have a child, I have a this, I have a that. I don't know why it hit me, and it's not quite right, Ivan, but it just gave me that feeling. So we might look at that as in terms of, you know, your feelings about what you have and what you don't have. But right from the top of the dream, you start with somebody who you describe as this man, Gus, who's actually very robust and happy and a kind of cheerleader. And yeah, everybody, everything's fine. Let's be happy. Let's be da 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 da. But right at the top of the dream, something happens. He gets a bit reactive or has a reaction. He has an allergic reaction, and you need to settle him down with a needle. Now, everyone in a dream represents a part of yourself. So there's a part of yourself that has been going, look, I'm robust. I'm fine. I'm happy. Everything's cool, guys, you know, and I'm not only cool with me and everything that's happened, but I'm really putting a really brave and happy face on the world. Mm-hmm. I'm the cheerleader. So my feeling from what you've said is that you have been cheerleading, you know, don't worry, anybody. I've broken up with my husband. And even though that's a good thing, I'm not sure about whether it's a good thing in myself, I'm presenting a happy face to the world. Is that what you've been doing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. So just hold on to that thought. So he's the guy, and he's big because this is big in your life. Like, I'm big, I'm robust, I'm happy, don't worry about me. But at the start of the dream, and remember that dream refers to the day or two before, he had an allergic reaction to something. So if we look at this, Melanie, on a emotional level, what you're really saying is you had a reaction to something.
Yeah, I did, big time.
Okay, so big time, big guy. would you like to fill us in a bit on that before we go any further?
Yeah, well, a couple of days before, my husband got on the radio, on breakfast radio, and pleaded for me to go back to him, said how he'd changed and how he was sorry that he broke my heart and all this kind of stuff.
Wow.
And I just flipped it when that happened, and I was very upset, but then I seemed to turn the corner. That seemed to be a point in me that that released some stress, and that thought, right, I'm going to move on now.
Good.
It was a big thing.
Well, that's absolutely huge. And was that actually on Gus's breakfast show?
No, it wasn't.
So, yeah, so there's a tentative link there in the dream, like, you know, also linking you directly to the event, although it wasn't Gus, it was a breakfast show on the radio.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you were reactive, just like the guy in the dream was reactive. So the robust, happy, I'm cool, everything's fine, guys, I'm the cheerleader here. Part of yourself reacted emotionally to what your partner did by coming onto the radio show and making a public appeal to you. And it's interesting that he made a public appeal on a private matter, and you've been going around with a publicly robust face about a private matter. So there's a kind of public private divide there.
Yeah,
and my my feeling around that, which we'll go into in the dream, is that probably throughout your life, Melanie, you've found a lot of difficulty keeping what's private private, or I'll rephrase that, not wanting public to know what's really going on privately, and always having a face, a public face, to cover what's happening internally. Is that right?
Definitely.
Yeah. So when your husband went on radio and made this very private thing, very public, he really put you on the spot. That was probably such an enormous thing that it not only caused you to be reactive, which is not how you usually are, but as you say, it made you turn a corner. It was like, right, you know, I've had enough of, the difference between me privately and me publicly. You can't just suddenly collide the two like that. This is blowing you right out the water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you decide to quieten it down with a needle.
I wish I could.
I know. And you see, you can't. Like you said, you wish you could, but you can't. There's an air bubble in there. Oh, look, air. When you're on radio, you're on air.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So it's like, you can't.
Bizarre.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Aren't dreams amazing? And your dream did this. This is coming from you. Aren't you clever?
Wow.
Yeah, it's on air. You can't retract it. It's not even a private conversation that you can go back. Well, you can, but, you know, you can't go back to a private conversation, resolve it. Ooh. Nobody knows. This has been made public. It's been put on air. There's nothing you can do about it. It's out there. It made you sit bolt upright.
Yeah, did it ever.
And this lovely, robust part of you, for once, felt angry because he was angry in the dream.
Mm.
So my feeling also is that throughout your whole life, it's possible that whenever you've felt anger about anything, you have tried to really hide that and not show it at all.
Mm.
But to put on a happy face. And that's why you're particularly concerned about very private stuff being made very public.
Mm.
And this is where I realize I applaud you very deeply for coming on a very public dream show and bringing this dream out, which is great.
Yep, I needed to.
Yeah, fantastic. You'll be helping a lot of people with this. So just noting that anger situation, anger is something that Melanie doesn't usually do, but hey, suddenly she's turned a point and she has.
Mm.
It's going to bring out a lot of stuff. So it's interesting that later on in the dream, you say about the mother of Ivan. You say that she expresses grief, but she's not angry. And in the dream, it's like, I'm really surprised. Why isn't she angry with me, even though I'm not sure if I did this? Why isn't she angry?
Yes, she wasn't angry at all. She was very sad for her own loss, but she wasn't blaming me.
Mm. Mm. So there's issues in there of anger and blame and grieving. And it was almost like this woman is someone that you know from school in waking life. And in waking life, she's not so much out there gust-like cheerleader. She's quietly confident.
Mm.
So she would be like the part of yourself that would say, I don't need to be angry, not because I've got anything to hide, but just because I'm going straight to grief.
Yeah.
You know, we can be angry about stuff, and that anger can keep our grief hidden and unable to get out. Whereas if you can go, oh, look, there's no point being angry. There's no point. It's not about responsibility and blame. It's nothing to do with that. This is just sheer grief. You know, so she goes straight to grief. And in many ways, she's your guide for how to go forward from now. Like, anger can be good. If you've got anger, you know, anger is deep down inside you, and it's covering other emotions like grief and other stuff, deeper stuff than that. But if you cheerlead it and you're robust about it, it will always be there no matter how much you try to hide it. Mm. Whereas if you can bring it up and examine it and feel it, not necessarily with other people around you, although you can choose someone to listen to you about it, and actually get it out there and feel what anger feels like and really let yourself feel it, it will then disappear from your body and your mind and your being, and you'll be able to look underneath that and go, oh, look, underneath that was perhaps in your case grief. Now I can cry. What am I crying about? What was underneath that? Let's go and have a look at that.
Yep, I completely understand. Mm. Yep.
Did something happen when you were 9 or 10 that you can remember?
When I was 6, my grandmother died, but I repressed it and I sort of let it all out when I was about 9 or 10. I don't exactly know how. My mum told me I repressed it for about 3 years.
Yeah.
So that's probably it.
What it is. Have you any idea from what your mum says how you let it out when you were 9 or 10?
Oh, I just broke down at school. Completely broke down, and was crying. I was just beside myself. And the teachers asked me what was wrong, and I said, my Nana died. And they were just shocked, and they rang my mum and said, why did you send her to school when her grandmother's just passed away? And she said, what are you talking about? She passed away like 3 years ago. So it just overwhelmed me all of a sudden. But I was very close to my grandmother, and when she passed away, I didn't cry. I didn't show any emotion.
Mm.
But it came up a lot later. So that's the only thing that I could think to around that time.
That makes sense. You probably know now as an adult, and you may not remember ever what it was, but something would have triggered you at age 9 and 10 to be allow yourself to release that. And we may not know what that is now, but it was a good thing. So there you go. So a part of yourself, when you were 9 or 10, you were able to release something that had been totally repressed and let it go, probably very well. Mm. And in this dream, there's Ivan, who was 9 or 10, who has actually died in the dream, and the mother is letting go by grieving. So there's a sense that Ivan is a part of yourself at 9 or 10 that let go, that is now ready to let go further. And this time it may be letting go about the grief about your husband and your marriage and everything.
Totally understand. It makes a lot of sense.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Would you say that, you know, I noticed in your dream that you said your mum, who is actually deceased now, was comforting you in the dream. Was she a person that hid her anger as well?
I don't know. I suppose she was. She did, I should say. She was quite flamboyant and everything, my mum. But, so she would have a bit of a yell or whatever, but if there was deep-seated stuff, she would sort of hang on to it. And
So when you say she was flamboyant, was she flamboyant in a kind of Gus breakfast radio announcer cheerleader kind of way? Okay. So there's a connection there. So as children, we learn from our parents, and we either become like them or very unlike them, usually one way or the other. So part of you learned from your mum either to be flamboyant, to be flamboyant in terms of robust and cheerleader and Gus like, and that is all now dying off. You're letting that go.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely letting that go.
Very good.
Yeah. How are you feeling at the moment?
I'm feeling a bit sad, but I'm also feeling happy that it's like a recognition because I can completely relate to it. And I can totally see how it relates, and as you talk, like I have little flashbacks of the dream, different parts, so I can, it is sort of putting it together like a puzzle. It makes complete sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the consciously you're following it and understanding it, and your unconscious mind is joining in by giving flashbacks to the dream that are giving you some sense of it making sense, though you may not completely understand some bits of that till later.
Yeah.
And is the lump in your throat beginning to disperse now as we talk about it?
Yeah, it is. The lump in my throat's gone. It's sort of more moved to my stomach now.
I was going
to
ask that. Yeah.
Like a little bit tight in the stomach, you know, when you sort of brace a little bit. You know you've got to do something and you've just got to do it.
Mm. That's so good because, you know, in the dream it was that Ivan's mother put her hand on Ivan's stomach to confirm that she had in fact passed. And the lump in your throat could also be likened to the air bubble in the needle as well.
Yeah.
So as you say, we operate from our gut, or we spew up from our gut things that we have repressed. But I love the way that the mother put her hand on Ivan's stomach in the dream. It was like she got in touch, you know, by placing her hand in touch with the guts, with the feelings. And that's where you now go to. It's like, okay, whether it's anger or grief or whatever I've been doing the happy face for, I'm now actually getting in touch with how I really feel. And some of that may go back to when you were 9 and 10, to whatever triggered you releasing at school as well. And so it's all releasing is all good, even though you may feel a bit teary, maybe for a couple of days. Let it flow, cry it out. It's all good. It's all very, very good. And spend some time contemplating you know, among, you don't want to spend too long, but amongst other reasons about your marriage breakup, about how the role of maybe repressing anger, maybe you being ready to acknowledge that you were perhaps more angry about some things than you acknowledged at the time, and how perhaps it is right for you to let that out, feel it, feel endorsed by it in many ways and move forward without having to say anything on air. Does that actually ring a few bells for you?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. We're going to move from here to do some dream alchemy practice, because I am aware that you have another appointment to go to in another 5 minutes or so. So, but before we do, Melanie, were there any other questions that you wanted to ask me about your dream or things related to it?
No, I think my mum did come to, in the end, where she was comforting me. I think she was giving me a little bit of encouragement. It's not all your fault.
Yeah.
Which was really nice. And I know that she does come to me, you know, now and again, especially when I need it.
Yes.
When I really need it. So, yeah, that's.
Look, that's really lovely. And you reminded me in saying that about the issue of it's not your fault and responsibility, you know, because that was the thing that came up a year ago in the Ivan dream, where someone was in denial. It's nothing to do with me. And this time it was, oops, did I do that? So, yeah, I mean, as there might have been a denial issue a year ago, not that you did something, but that you thought that you did something and you thought that there was a problem with the relationship and it was your responsibility. So you were denying it rather than looking at it. And now you're probably more at a stage where you realize that there is no right, there is no wrong, there's no responsibility, there's no blame. It's about nothing about that. It's all about people being who they are and sometimes reaching a point where you can't find a healing between those two people. So you move on.
Yeah, definitely.
And as you say, you know, your mum comforting you in the dream with that was probably also about all of that, taking comfort that it's never about blame. That's a backward step. And blame and guilt relate to the past. And if you kind of keep your anchors in the past on blame and guilt, it can stop you from moving forward.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, letting all that go, as you said, you can treat that thing where your husband went on the breakfast show as the real turning point that it was, release all those anchors, no blame, no guilt. Okay, I can see that it just wasn't really working and I'm moving forward now.
Yeah. I'm moving forward.
Good for you. Okay, let's work out a dream alchemy practice. So what you've got is, you know, dream alchemy is about either changing any unconscious beliefs that have been working against you or reinforcing any shifts in your unconscious mind that are new and are working for you. So are you good at visualizations, Melanie?
Yep.
Okay, good. Let me have a think about here. So what we want to do is we want to make it okay for... Now, we don't like in a visualization to necessarily visualize things dying, even though that is actually a good symbol. So we move on from there and we visualize things being born and growing. Death of the old, birth of the new. And we've got nothing to resurrect, because these are all good things to let go of. It's good to let go of being robust and cheerful so that you can be as you are. And when you really are feeling cheerful, it's genuine joy rather than a false face. Okay. But some of the good things in the dream are the comfort, the sense of comfort and letting go, I think. And the hand on the stomach, I really like. Do you like the feeling of the hand on the stomach?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
It's very calming.
It is, isn't it? That's calming. And I'm thinking of a symbol to move forward from now. Okay, so what if we do a visualization, and I will lead you through it, but I'll just get from you that whether you like this to begin with, that we go into the dream at the end of the dream, and all you're aware of, everything else fades, and all you're aware of as you step into the dream is your mum putting her hands around and comforting you, and she moves both her hands to your stomach, and you feel an amazing sense of warmth and new life and vitality in your stomach, and to then what we'll do is to make sure that this has got nothing to do with blame and guilt, we'll replace blame and guilt with forgiveness and moving forward.
Okay.
So if I do something like that, does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, we'll do that, and then we'll get I'll build into the end of it a birth of the new symbol. So close your eyes, here we go. Okay, Melanie, so you're stepping into the end of the dream, and as everything in the dream just fades away, it fades lovingly into the past, a beautiful white light comes into your dream, and you feel your mother standing beside you, and she puts her hands, both of her hands, on your stomach, and it feels so good. You can feel warmth and love and supreme comfort emanating from your mum's hands right into your stomach area. And it is so warm and comfortable and loving that it melts any old feelings that have been uncomfortable for you. And in their place is a wonderful, warm sense of forgiveness. Forgiveness for everything that's ever happened to you, and forgiveness to yourself in a way for just being who you are, because we sometimes need to forgive ourselves to move forward. And as you do this, you open your eyes and you notice in front of you a beautiful baby tree just growing right in front of you. And it's golden in color, and it's got little kind of star fruits on it that are really twinkling and shining. And these are the little lights that guide you forward as you move forward in absolutely beautiful ways, always smiling with genuine joy so that people see the real happy feelings, the real Melanie, the real smiles on your face, and it feels so good.
It does, I'm smiling.
Good.
Through the tears, I'm smiling.
That's excellent, that's lovely. Well, then you'll have rainbows.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you.
It's a pleasure. Melanie, do
Thank
that.
You very, very much.
It's a pleasure. Most of the work's done just in that one, but do it 20 times a day for a couple of weeks, and then 2 times a day for another couple of weeks. And you'll hear this live tomorrow, and you'll be able to listen to it and just re-record this little bit of the visualization and play it over and over.
Definitely. Thank you so much. That's so healing. Thank you very, very much.
It's a great pleasure, Melanie, and thank you so much for coming on and doing something very public with something very private, which is healing not only for you but for so many people listening. Thank you for sharing your dream.
Thank you.
And that was a beautiful release and a healing for Melanie there, wasn't it? Now, as I mentioned during that interview with Melanie there, she did have to go somewhere. She did have to go and pick up her kids from school. So we had to end maybe a few minutes earlier than I would otherwise have ended. And I realized that I actually missed an important question. And I'm sure many of you long-term aficionados listening would have been thinking, why didn't she ask the question about the number? Remember, in Melanie's dream, she injected 2 mils into the man at the beginning of the dream. And of course, I usually pounce on a number because numbers are really significant. So what I would have asked Melanie was, you injected 2 mils into the man at the start of the dream. What does 2 mean for you? What happened for you 2 years ago, 2 months ago, 2 weeks ago? Are the 2 things in your life at the moment? So Melanie, when you're listening to this after the fact, you might like either just to let me know so that I can enlighten our listeners next week, or you might like to go to the podcast blog, Melanie, and just put in the comment box any thoughts you've got on what the 2 in the 2 milliliters might have meant to you. Now, you did say to us that your ex-husband had actually gone on to a radio station and made an appeal to you, and we related that to the very opening of your dreams and to the 2 mls. So I did wonder whether the radio call sign might be radio 2 something, or even 2 mls. I don't think there's such a radio call sign, but you never know. Anyway, yep, we missed that, didn't we? But I think you all still got plenty out of that dream, and Melanie certainly did. So thanks for listening to another Dream Show, as always. And of course, there are all the websites that you can go to, and also keep an eye open on Facebook and come in and please do interact with me there. Lots and lots and lots and lots of free stuff on www.dream.net.au, so that you can actually tune into and use the free resources on that website to learn how to interpret your own dreams. If you prefer to talk about a dream with me, and you want to go public, then email me and ask to be a guest on the show. And of course, you get your interpretation for free then too. If you'd like to chat with me privately, of course, I can Skype you or phone you. So go to my website under services and look up Skype Consulting there. If you want a bit, you know, a more regular contact with me, of course, there's always life coaching, and you can sign up for a weekly 45-minute call every week for 4 weeks or for 20 weeks, and keep regular contact, during which we not only look at significant dreams that you've got, and certainly do dream alchemy, but also talk about, and I coach you through various waking life issues and step forwards and help guide you through. So if you feel like you'd like some of that, go to www.dream.net.au and either click on the life coaching icon or go to services and you'll find it there. And if you're really an even deeper person than that, you might like to do the Professional Dream Analyst course. However, it's all there. And I'll be back next week, next Friday, for another episode of The Dream Show, for episode 74. So have a wonderful week, and I'll speak to you then. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsite. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsite Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.